This episode of the Productivity Podcast is sponsored by SetApp. If you've followed me for a while, you'll know that I'm a major Mac geek and I love experimenting with different apps and finding more efficient ways of doing my work. The challenge here is that there are so many of our apps available to us, and this often leads to app overwhelm and decision fatigue, and it's hard to find or decide which apps to use. And because our work often requires multiple tools, this means multiple purchases and lots of monthly subscriptions to pay as well. Fortunately, there's a new kid on the block making things a lot easier. Enter SetApp. SetApp is the world's first subscription-based app marketplace that features all the best Mac apps in one place. I've just signed up, and for a productivity geek like me, here's why it's a no-brainer. Firstly, it features the best apps for every job. SetApp doesn't just allow any app in their store, they handpick the best apps to include in their store so that you can pick and easily find the best tools for the job. And no matter what you do, there's probably a whole range of apps in the store that you could be using to be more productive. And the key benefit is that it's one subscription for all your tools. For just $9.99 a month, you can pay to get access to a massive library of apps, all for one monthly payment, instead of paying for each app separately. Just last year, my favorite writing app, Ulysses, changed to a subscription model, which would have meant I'd need to fork out $7.49 a month for this one app alone. I've also spent money on other popular apps like Timing, which was $49, and Clean My Mac, which was $39.95. So to me, it seems like a no-brainer to spend $9.99 a month for all of these apps and to get access to other new apps I haven't even tried. Before, I would often spend a lot of time browsing apps, comparing prices, and reading reviews before opening my wallet. I'd even put off a purchase for weeks at a time, really thinking about my decision before making a commitment. But now, with SetApp, I can quickly download an app knowing it's the best tool for the job, and I can give it a try without paying for that individual app. To sign up today, head to poolminers.com/setapp.
Welcome to the Productivity Podcast, the show that will supercharge your productivity fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice, and become a Jedi Master of Productivity. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Productivity Podcast. As always, it is a pleasure to have you listening to this episode, as I appreciate your time and your attention, because I know how valuable those things are. And today, I'm talking about four fears that I faced and overcame while starting my business. Now, the reason, the motivation for kind of writing this blog post and recording this podcast today is that I know that making the leap from full-time employment, where you've got security, to becoming an independent business owner is a really scary step. And, you know, there's all these concerns about what if you don't make enough money? Are you even good enough to work for yourself? These are questions that I had that almost every business owner, I think, asks themselves at some point. So that's what I want to talk about today. If you want to have a read of this post or get access to any of the links of things that I mentioned, you can find them at poolminers.com. The first kind of major fear that I dealt with, that I think is the first thing that most people think about first, is kind of dealing with money and fear of money, financial uncertainty. And back when I was working full-time, and before even making the leap to full-time self-employment, this concern was probably at the top of my list. And by working for yourself, you know, you become 100% independent, and suddenly all income generation is your responsibility. There is no salary being paid into your account every week or every month or whatever it is, that even is still there if you're ill. Your income is now completely dependent on your own ability and the effort that you put into your business. So that's kind of a good and a bad thing. Like, it means that kind of the income you earn if you work really hard can be really great. But, you know, there's a lot of unknown that comes with that as well. And with a mortgage and a wife to support, when I was, you know, back before I quit my job, I spent many hours worrying about money, how much I'd need to earn, and, you know, thinking about what I'd do if I couldn't earn enough. My plan was always to be able to replace my salary before quitting my job. The theory here was that if I could make the same as a full-time salary while working on my business part-time, then when I went full-time on that business, I should be able to sustain or even grow that figure significantly. And for me, at least, going through this process and working out the minimum I'd need to earn to quit my job, that was a nice way of overcoming this concern about money. And even now, while the business is doing well, my income goal is still the same. All I want to do is earn at least what I was earning when working full time. Everything else really is just a bonus. The second big fear that I had was a fear of kind of wasting time and this thinking of, is this ever going to work? And in the early days, Another source of anxiety came from wondering if I'd ever be able to make the business work. You know, I tested lots of different ways of growing my website traffic, growing email subscribers, and selling more of my digital products. And often these ideas would end up having little or almost no effect on the business, and it can be very demoralizing. And this led me to think, you know, will I ever be able to make this website work and earn a living from something that I'm doing? And all I have to say to anyone feeling like this is keep going. Yes, it is demoralizing when you put in all this effort and don't get with it where you want to be. But when you persevere and try new things, you'll learn more about what works and what doesn't, so that you can eventually find the thing that really sticks and kickstarts your business. And for me, consulting was a real game changer and quickly got me to where I wanted to be. It was something I didn't try until later, but this helped me to earn enough to quit my job so that I could focus on growing website and product sales. Had I actually given up, I would have never experimented with the idea of even consulting or, you know, contracting my time, and I wouldn't have got to where I am today. So keep going, keep trying new things, and eventually your hard work and persistence will pay off, I promise you. Number three is overcoming imposter syndrome. The funny thing is that after you actually start to make your business work, then you start to wonder if you're really good enough. And this doubt is, this kind of doubt in your ability is what we refer to as imposter syndrome. And it's something I've struggled with kind of more recently as well. Again, it's very common to wonder this, and I expect it's not just business owners, but even full-time employees who sometimes doubt whether they're good enough to do a certain job. And a few things that have helped me to overcome this. Well, firstly, if you doubt your abilities, I actually think this is a good sign that you're challenging yourself and growing as a person. It's only natural that as we grow and try new things that we would doubt our ability. It means, you know, we're pushing ourselves, which is good. And secondly, to help demonstrate my ability to others and kind of in turn myself, I actually use my website, my podcast, and my YouTube channel to add credibility to what I'm doing. So for example, before someone hires me to help them with like Asana, they can actually go and watch my free videos on YouTube to kind of confirm that, yes, I indeed know what I'm doing. And I like knowing that people have seen that before they hire me so that they've got a flavor of what it's like to work with me. They've seen that, I know they know what I'm about, and they still want to hire me, which is good. So I've kind of confirmed that they have confidence in me, which helps overcome that imposter syndrome. And the final kind of fear, sounds funny, is a fear of success. I think this is a real thing. And as well, like this feeling of, what if I lose everything? The good news is that despite all the fears that I've had so far, business is good now, but this in itself creates a whole new type of fear, which is, what if I lose everything that I've worked for? And it's only natural to fear losing the things we have, whether it's, you know, losing a friend or a family member, losing your home, or in this case, a business. And to overcome this fear, I do my best to protect myself. Obviously, you can get insurance, that kind of thing, for protecting yourself against certain kind of outside influences. But I never, you know, take on massive amounts of risk, and I'm constantly trying to improve and add value to my clients and customers to, you know, do everything I can to build a sustainable business. Now, I realize, you know, even if I did lose it all, I've built a business before and I could do it again if I needed to. So that's kind of something that I keep in the back of my mind to help overcome this particular fear. So those are the kind of top four things the fears that I've dealt with in the process of growing my business. And whether you're a business owner or someone who just works hard on different projects, what are the fears that you have? I'd love to hear more. And I think part of facing and overcoming fear comes from being open about the very thing that you're struggling with. So if you have something you'd like to share, please reach out to me. Comment on the blog post corresponding to this podcast at paulminers.com/78. Let me know kind of what you're dealing with and what you do to overcome the fears that you're struggling with. So that's it. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll catch you next time on the Productivity Podcast.